As we remain standing, let us pray. Dear loving and gracious Lord God, blessed are you, creator of all. You've given us the light, the Christ, to banish the darkness and lead us in the way of truth. Let it be according to your word. And Lord, let this night of all nights open our hearts to receive the love of this baby, the Prince of Peace. Create in us hearts filled with delight and willing to know you. Then give us strength and courage to be transformed by the birth of your Son, the long-awaited Messiah. And we ask this in the name of our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sanctifier. Amen. Please be seated. This is kind of near his dinner time, isn't it? Okay. So a while back, I spent some time in Ontario, and I was having dinner with family members. And while we were waiting and ordering the food, several of the youngest ones spent much of their time on their phones. Does anybody, does this sound familiar? Sending and receiving text messages or checking Facebook. There was not a lot of involvement in the conversation. Instead, they remained focused on their 2x3 plastic phones. When I returned to the West Coast, I really began to notice that, and this includes me, we are on our phones a lot. Do you know that you can download an app that'll tell you how many times you're on your phone every day? Mm-hmm. Who has that app? Oh my gosh. Okay. Did you have to pay for it?
No, just
doesn't. Oh, it's a free. Great. That's So I began to notice this, and I'm noticing it in the supermarket lineups. I'm noticing it on ferries. I'm noticing on street corners and restaurants, waiting for the bank teller, the pharmacy, crossing busy streets, in meetings, church services, or even when someone was having a face-to-face conversation with me. Fingers and thumbs, mostly thumbs, moving quickly over keypads, eyes focused on a small screen and oblivious to life going on around. It has become a normal part of 21st century life. So what does this have to do with the Christian tradition of Christmas? The birth of a baby in a land far away, in a time long forgotten, in circumstances that without our modern understanding and communications might be difficult to relate to. So tonight, we get to hear again that God, the creator of all good things, has a divine text message for the world. It is longer than 280 characters. It will never be deleted or sent incorrectly. And here's the really, really good news. It will never be replaced by new technology. It is a message that never causes carpal tunnel or arthritis. It doesn't need a network to operate. It has no hidden fees or connection costs. And there's no contract required. And there's no monthly charge. The best bargain we're ever going to get. It is a universal message, and it speaks to all of humanity with one voice, not competing for our attention. It is a universal message of hope in the midst of human tragedy, peace in place of senseless violence, joy in spite of the incredible loss and love beyond our wildest dreams. And it speaks profoundly to the liberating and releasing power of God to enter into our lives and change us in spite of our heartbreaks and doubts, in spite of our pain. And it brings light and hope in the darkness of this ongoing pandemic. John Donohue, the late John Donohue, Irish priest and theologian, writes, "For at Christmas time deepens, the Celtic imagination knew that time is eternity in disguise. They embraced the day as a sacred space And he continues, Christmas reminds us to glory in the simplicity and wonder of one day. It unveils the extraordinary that our hurried lives conceal and neglect. We have been given such immense possibilities, and we desperately need to make clearance in our entangled lives to let our souls breathe. This is the message of an ordinary family of three, a young girl, a much older husband, and a baby whose parentage was out of this world. The young girl, Mary, has a supernatural encounter with an angel. She is chosen to become a surrogate mother for the God of Israel, to enter into humanity, beginning as a helpless infant, living an ordinary life in an extraordinary way as a carpenter in a small village in Palestine. And she has broken the news to her strict parents, apparently, that she is pregnant, and in spite of what it looks like on the surface was not the result of a tragic indiscretion, but a divine intervention. She's had a heavenly visitor who told her she will become pregnant with the Jewish Messiah. And she doesn't stop there. She then has to explain the unexplainable, that she actually believed the angel. For she truly believes that this is God's purpose for her. And she says, yes. She says, yes, I am your servant. Your will be done. This young woman said yes, knowing that she would be an outcast. She might be stoned, or worse still, when her fiancé Joseph is told he would drop her like a hot potato. But what happens is nothing short of miraculous. Joseph himself receives divine encouragement and stands by Mary. He stands up to the ridicule, the gossip, the innuendos, the whispers, and he protects her. He refuses to reject or condemn Mary or send her back in disgrace to her family. And they travel under the cover of night to avoid robbers to the city of David, Bethlehem, to participate in a population census. A census that I suspect would be used to justify higher taxes. And after a perilous 100-mile journey, the young couple are unable to find a place to stay. A place where Mary can give birth to the greatest baby the world has ever known. A child that is born to us, a son given to us, and who is named Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. A name above all names, a name that when spoken heals broken hearts, gives victory over evil and death, and is the light of the world. The family is searching for a place to rest, and yet the best the world could offer was a stable, animals and all. Now, some traditions say it was a cave, but regardless, Jesus the Messiah, born in a humble place so that you and I could truly live. And far from family and friends, it will be strangers who come to pay homage. Shepherds and outcasts and criminals leaving their flocks to see what the angel has told them was the good news of great joy for all people. A group of people considered the scum of society. The downtown East Siders, the outcasts, the drug addicts, the prostitutes, the rejected and the abandoned were the ones God sent his angels to tell them the good news. And to you, today, born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. And the shepherds are treated to a multitude of heavenly choristers. And these untouchables would be the first human beings to both hear about the King, long-awaited Messiah, and be the first to glimpse the King of Kings. And as witnesses to the miracle, filled with the Holy Spirit, they would tell everyone what they had just seen, heard, and experienced. And many who wouldn't have given these shepherds a second thought were amazed at what they told him, at what they told them. But that's what happens with Jesus. It's always the weakest, the most insignificant, the humblest, those of us who have nothing and know it, And that is where the Christ child is able to make his home in hearts that are devoid of pride, devoid of self-importance, devoid of smugness, devoid of judgment, devoid of superiority, self-righteousness, conceit, and vanity. His birth was the beginning of a new way of looking at ourselves as beloved, as important and essential in the bringing about of a new world. The hope of the Hebrew Scriptures had arrived, the new covenant, the ultimate text message proclaimed by the last of the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist, was and is and forever be in human history. God intervening in the lives of his people every day, every hour, every minute, and every second. God declaring with the Christ child, I am your God, and you are my people. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You are my beloved. And there is nothing that you have done or could do that would ever stop me from loving you. So on to us this very night is born a baby that opens the eyes of the blind, frees the captives from prison, and releases those who sit in darkness. And his parents called him Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, God among us, and God within us. Let us pray. Kids did very well. Mm-hmm. Lord Jesus, in your love for us, you became like an infant, helpless, needing to be protected, inspiring life. Your love ties us to us, even when some among us seek to drive you away, seek to exile you from their lives. But you keep coming back, for you will never be separated from your holy ones. Teach us to rest easy where you are and to welcome you lovingly. Accept the homage of our hearts. Thank you now and always. Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.